Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Crack open that delicious Carabao. The fans are back in charge, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, 21st of September. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushan Hantharaja.
Welcome one and all, welcome to the Football Ramble. And I think we need to start with a very important question today. And I'll let you field this one, Jim. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give those who don't win first prize in football or in life?
Pick yourself up and try again.
And Vish, Kevin Keegan fielded this question.
Oh no, why are they doing this to him?
It's the meat guys again, isn't it? They asked him what advice he has for losers, essentially.
Are they bullying him?
Sort of, yeah.
I don't think
they know they're doing it, but they are. I mean, it's not like he didn't win a lot of trophies as a player.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Kevin, what would you do if you were 12 points clear at the top of the table and gave it away? What would your advice be in that situation, yeah?
Oh, God. So tell us about the state of the meat industry. Because we want to know that you're here for the meat, Kevin, not just for the money.
Brilliant contribution, though. I feel like as we assemble our collection of losers, perhaps we could have given a better...
All right, steady on.
Bloody hell.
Just because you're
salty today.
Yeah, just hanging out with triathletes.
Yeah. Some of them must lose.
They do. Like,
most of them lose.
Yeah, it's
surely.
Ranked, isn't it?
I think most of them are losers, to be fair. If you're good at one, you do it properly, wouldn't you?
Can you not diss my new best friends?
What are triathletes like? Because it is like an incredibly hard thing to do.
Mm. Yeah.
So presumably you just have to have no semblance of personality, as in when you're specifically in that competing environment.
I think they're all quite fun because they're not as you know, media trained and stuff as footballers, obviously.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
I imagine they must all secretly be psychopaths because have you seen how bloody hard it is to do that?
I mean, each individual bit's really hard.
Oh, yeah. God, I know. And also the admin in between. It's very admin heavy.
What, as in like writing down your times and stuff like that?
No, I mean like switching. There's some fun stuff where they're running along with some of them have started running along with and putting on the swimming hats as they're going at like however.
What was I talking about writing down your times?
I think someone else does that.
Was that 5:11? Well, did anyone get that?
How far can you take that? Can you get like a mate to fly a drone with a swimming cap on? It's like, plonk it on my head.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
It's a great question. There was a drone kicking around, but I don't think it was for that.
So you start with the swimming, and then you do the cycling, and then you do the running.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're spicing it up. Sometimes they're moving around in a different order specific thing that I've been working on.
Right. Oh,
but
wow.
Anyway, it's quite a joke. So, yeah, they'll like tuck their little goggles down here, pop the swimming hat on their head as they're running like faster than you've ever seen anyone run, you know, up close. Can you just like...
Can you use an e-bike?
That's a separate event.
I see.
Why? You think you're entering?
Well, I'm just thinking I'm just thinking. if I was like made to do this event, which is the only reason I would do it, I'd be like, how can I cut as many corners as possible?
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking there, it'd be really cool to do a ramble, like urban triathlon.
Don't say that.
You know, with like...
Someone will make us do
with
it.
With a Santander bike. Well, you've already got the canal sorted, haven't you? You've got one leg up.
I'm not like an expert at swimming because I fell in a canal once.
You did, yeah, but you know, still here, aren't you?
Yeah, but you know how to survive the canal. That's true. You're still here. That's true. It. Yeah.
You got out alive.
Yeah. Kate and Luke are runners.
Yeah. I run.
Pete's
actually
good at hot wiring stuff.
Whoa, confusing. You went from being very defensive about your inability to quite defensive about your ability.
Well, can I run on a treadmill?
Yeah, of course you can.
Yeah, cool, fine.
That counts.
Yeah, all right.
Just put the ramble on.
Patreon exclusive. Should we move on to the actual football? Everton. Yeah. We're going to talk about Everton. Because we're going to recap stuff that happened over the weekend that we didn't get to. They lost 3-0 to Villa at the weekend, but hey, it ended Rafa's unbeaten start. And did you know, guys, it's really important that we talk about this. This is the most played fixture in the English top flight.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
I love it.
Like, Everton have never been relegated. Villa were only recently relegated for the first time, weren't they? So that'll be why.
I think that's how we should organise our running orders in future. The most historical games.
Mm.
First loss for Rafa Benitez at Villa Park.
Yeah, it was a surprising one, wasn't it? Mm. The nature of it. But I think it's probably a blip, to be honest. Purely because I think now the dust has settled on the transfer window a little bit. If you look at the business Everton did, it's sort of a really subtle improvement with players that, essentially players like Andros Townsend and Solomon Rondon, that Benitez knows he can rely on, who will follow his instruction. And we know from his teams in the past that if you can get players who listen to him, it does bring results. And I think part of the problem Everton have had has been like ripping it up and starting it again a lot. And so the squad is a bit of a kind of Frankenstein's monster.
Mm.
It through the most negative lens you could view it. But I think he's clearly trying to change that. And I think that's going to pay dividends.
I think this game, it was quite... The coverage afterwards, and I suppose because of the nature of the result, you know, losing 3-0 is generally a bad result, isn't it? Regardless of the mitigating factors of injury and stuff like that. But
it's not a drubbing, is it? We decided this ages ago.
I wouldn't say a drubbing.
No,
it's
just a comprehensive defeat.
It's kind of, I should see a doctor about this. No, I really should see a doctor.
Don't go his way and eat, though.
No, exactly.
Just, like,
yeah.
Just book an appointment.
111.
No, don't do that because they'll just send you to A&E.
Okay, right. But, you know, you look at their squad that they compiled at the start of the season, but then you look at the injuries they had and the fact that they had to call on, was it Anthony Gordon, Tom Davies, Andre Gomez? These aren't necessarily game-changing players. And I think Gordon's the only one you would view as someone who's affecting things in the final third of the pitch by his presence. So I was quite heartened by what Everton did with Andros Townsend and Damari Gray, because there was a little bit of a sense of, God, they were lucky to get those moves in the first place. But Benitez knew what he was getting. He was getting someone who was always very hungry, who perennially seems to have things to prove, in Andros Townsend, and Damari Gray, who was clearly, there was something there that people were about to give up on, I suppose. So I think in terms of Benitez and the Everton fit, I think because of the way he is, because he's a very system-orientated manager, I think he's relatively happy with the squad he has. I think if you think of some of the players like Allen and Decore, who he picked up, as it were, from Carlo Ancelotti's last season, I think he would have loved to have... I mean, those are the kind of players he loves, really. Hard workers, tactically savvy. So, yeah, I mean, I do wonder, though, if they're just going to have like a big overreaction to this. Like, hopefully not.
I don't think so, because, you know, you heard him afterwards. It is difficult when your injuries include Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's out for at least another couple of weeks, I think. Obviously, Pickford wasn't playing, so Asmir Begovic got his first Premier League start. Jim looks like he's pleased about that. I don't know what that face means. Your captain, Seamus Coleman, as well as Richarlison. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily want to compare it to the Spurs game, but they did have a few big chances in the first half. Simon Rondon, he could have put a couple away. And likewise, I can think of one particularly big one from Damari Gray that he just missed. It could have looked completely different.
Anyone would miss like the equivalent of those level of players in your squad. Like you're up against it, especially with Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison out. So, I mean, again, it shows the savviness of Benitez, knowing that this is going to happen and having someone dependable like Rondon in there, even though it's not worked out for them today, or in this game, rather.
Yeah. Absolutely. And in terms of Villa, should we give them a few props?
Mm.
Matty Cash looking like Grealish, scoring like Grealish. Decent.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'd take that. I think I'd take that, to be fair.
I mean, it's the most believable body swap in the Premier League, isn't it? Yeah. Biologically, yeah. There's not that far to go. So maybe that's what's happened.
But yeah. Actually, to be honest, the person we should be talking about is Leon Bailey. He was unbelievable. 21 minutes, on he comes. His corner, it was deflected off Luka Dina's head, wasn't it? Yeah. But still, it was an amazing corner. And then he just smashed that third one home. What an incredible player.
I know, right? I mean, Andy's said that his issue in the Bundesliga was consistency. So we'll see if Dean Smith can get that out of him. But Dean Smith seems to be brilliant at that, doesn't he? Just getting everybody sort of pushing in the right direction or pulling in the right direction, depending where you want to go. and I'm sort of excited for Villa because obviously losing Jack Grealish is such an emotional thing, as well as being something that makes such a difference to your team because they're essentially built around him. But I think they've signed really, really cannily. Kept players like Douglas Luiz there, who, you know, was a huge, huge player for them. And they've not really missed a beat, have they?
Well, I think part of that has been their investment of the Grealish money was done ambitiously, if that makes sense. They didn't get that money and think, right, we could probably keep half of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Store it away for, for our specific rainy days. Not necessarily for the club, but, you know, that's we could all take a nice little cut of this. But they, you know, they obviously, Ings, Buendia, Bailey in particular is someone who loads of big clubs have been sniffing around, but no one's really pulled the cord on because they've been unsure about, you know, his consistency. And Aston Villa just thought, look, if we get 10 blistering games out of him out of 30, then that's brilliant for us, isn't it? That's going to take us to the next level.
It's a stronger squad now, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like a more rounded squad as well. They've got threats from everywhere. The fact that, as you know, we've already pointed out that he came on as a sub and did what he did is... Yeah, I mean, like there are teams above Villa in the league. So what? Where are Villa in the league right now? They are. Do you want to work it out? So they're 10th. There are teams above them in the league who would crave those kind of options.
Yeah,
and I think that's a pretty happy place for them to be.
We'll come on to that in a minute. Leon Bailey, if you want to read more about him, actually, friend of the show, Joe Bruin, wrote a couple of years ago, I think it was on 442, this incredible piece about him and about how he had to kind of make his way in the world while he was at Genk, age 15, being looked after by his older brother. It's so interesting. Let's stick with Everton for a little bit as well, because it looks as though James Rodriguez is out the door. You talked about the kind of Frankenstein's monster setup that they have. Do you think the James signing... He only joined a year ago, by the way, and I remember how excited we actually were to see him play in the Premier League. But
especially when he started playing, and he was brilliant.
He was great. But
first game against Spurs, he was brilliant, That was the first game of the season.
Yeah, he was great. But it looks as though it's been perhaps other people knew better than us in terms of Real Madrid because he's been injured quite a lot. There's been some COVID complications as well.
Yeah, I mean, he was, a very good creative force for Everton last year, but obviously they couldn't rely on him to play too many games back to back. And that was something they ended up having to work out themselves. And I suppose they knew that with the risk in terms of, with all due respect to Everton, when you get a player who has just come from Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, you know you're getting him because they're slightly flawed. And that, obviously a lot of that was playing consistently, but also it was his output as well. And I think... similar-ish to the Leon Bailey Villa thing, they kind of thought, right, if we can get some few magic moments from him, then brilliant, we'll take us to the next level. And he'll, Everton have always been a team who've tried as best they can to stick to this idea of being an entertaining club. Even some of the signings in a few years before that hadn't gone particularly well were done with a view of being quite an engaging side to watch. And now, obviously, they're in an awkward situation where he's on 200 grand a week.
Yeah, Jesus.
He's also in this space now that players of his ilk, when they're, not necessarily at big clubs, get into where they dictate when they play, which for him doesn't sound like he wants to jeopardise any potential move in January or if anything comes before that, because he's talking about, Benitez mentioned that there are a couple of like slight little niggles here and there that were reported by Rodriguez himself. So, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate. I do wonder if Everton fans thought this was going to be like a great romantic story, or would they have accepted the fact that, they got the flashes and that in its own right out of context was entertaining?
Is it worth it for 200 grand a week? And just a bit, just to clarify, you did just call Everton not a big not a big, big club.
But I said, but
just
I said,
wanted to check in.
But
and
I said
see.
Big three times there. So I had two outs on the way down. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, don't write in. Yeah, so he looks as though he's going to go to Qatar potentially. They've got the money for
tell
him.
Us about Qatar.
I don't think so.
Sell us Qatar.
They've got, well, you know.
What should he do when he gets there?
He should wait indoors until October when it will be nice and cool. Comparatively.
Different rules for men and women, remember though. Yeah. So.
No, just as long as you keep your knees covered. Both male and female, you'll be absolutely
he
fine.
He does pull his socks off, doesn't he? So he'll be fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Quite right. Not Jack Grealish, so. Jordan Pickford out with injury, but he was actually at the This Is Tomorrow Festival in Newcastle.
See, so I don't have a problem with this.
No, unless he's putting someone on his shoulders.
He's got a shoulder injury, yeah.
Okay, right, well, so...
What if he's in the mosh pit?
You've never...
That's
oh,
the
okay.
most Oxbridge pronunciation of mosh pit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I was actually at a festival this very weekend.
Yeah.
I'll have you know.
Were you punting?
Jersey something or other. It's the most middle-class festival in the world. Carry on.
Well, they roll, yeah, that sounds like they rolled cheese down a road or something like that. Yeah.
Sorry, in that latitude.
So I remember this. So obviously, because I knew we were talking about it, I looked this up, and about 4 or 5 years ago, I did a piece with a Premier League nutritionist, and we got onto the subject of, you know, footballers after hours, and he said, look, obviously we're not going to tell them to drink, we advise them not to, but because we know they're going to do it anyway, we always kind of give them pointers. So one of them was like, you know, slimline tonics and things like that, vodka, and also, yes, you know, champagne.
Fine.
And so I wondered that...
I didn't realise I had such an athlete alcoholic diet. Yeah. Nice.
Oh God, I'm just thinking of someone advising Jordan Pickford to drink vodka and champagne.
Well, this is what I'm saying, because he obviously would have known, they would have known that he was going to go to it, because, yeah, you know, footballers, camera phones and this, that and the other, they, like, he would assume it's gone out, so they wouldn't have been, he wouldn't have been trying to hide it. So I wonder if they tell him, look, if you're going to go, fine. You can two-step if you want. Nothing from the shoulders down, though. Don't try and body pop. Don't try and, like, you know, don't leave the big fish and the little fish in the cardboard boxes at home.
Yeah.
And just, you know, everything from the waist down, all good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah.
The rave can be on.
No mosh pits,
not,
of course. Yeah.
Not up to 10.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, give him a, you know, a rave ceiling.
Asmir Begovic was pretty good in goal anyway.
Yeah. I mean, he's not a raver, is he?
He's not a raver. It doesn't matter. He's not a raver.
As in, you wouldn't want him at that festival.
He's just less fun, isn't he, Begovic?
Yeah.
He did some quite profound leaps that I enjoyed. I think that could do well.
In the game? Less so at the festival.
In the dance floor.
Right. But if you see Asmir Begovic at a festival, that's kind of quirky. If you see Jordan Pickford, that's made
your
day.
Just like,
yeah.
Or it's like, what festival are you at if he's not there? You know, standard.
Yeah, okay, none of the good people have turned up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant, but okay.
Begovic is one of those weird goalkeepers, though. He's an exceptional, like, you know, top 12 team goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And then, but he's an exceptional, like, alternate, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm. So actually, Arsenal are 13th right now. So he's not. That's the cutoff. I was just going to.
Well, you signed one of them, didn't you?
So. Yeah, not quite. Yeah.
Oh, bless. Emi Martinez was looking good, wasn't he, in this
game? Always does.
Everton take on QPR at Loftus Road tonight in the Carabao Cup. Actually, we'll probably talk a little bit about the Carabao after the break, and then also. Villa have got Chelsea tomorrow at Stamford Bridge in the aforementioned League Cup. We will get to all of that, Japes, I think, after this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble. This week, there's been loads going on across Stack. Over on the Luke and Pete Show, I'm telling Luke about why my hairstyle has been bothering children.
And she says, why have you got your hair like that?
Yeah.
Why have you got your hair in a ponytail? We've been told that we're not to talk to men who have ponytails.
Good parents. And
yeah, but that wasn't the parents. They didn't say that.
Right.
She'd just been told at school or something never to trust a man with a ponytail.
Meanwhile, the book club is back with a cracker on Football Ramble Presents. Kate and Jim were joined by Simon Cooper to talk about his new book, Delving into the Heart of Barcelona Football Club and what its legends were really like.
Johan Cruyff, in my humble opinion, he's the kind of Freud or Marx or Einstein of football. He invented modern football, but he was also a lunatic. Cruyff was a guy who walks into a room and says, you're doing it all wrong, you should do what I say.
Listen to the Luke and Pete Show and Football Ramble Presents every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's not take a piss here. I certainly wasn't.
Well, I think you are.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Jim, and Vish in your ears. Today we have got some emails for you. We have got a different jingle. We have biffed off Pete for a second.
Why have we
done
so? I think that's out of order.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take it up with management.
It's Kate, Jules, Jim or Vish, Marcus, Luke or Pete the Tit. Andy might just read up one in show at footballramble.com. Email show at footballramble.com. Sven.
You could do a version.
I mean, biffing off Pete's ramble.
For a jingle that calls him jingle. A tit.
Yeah, exactly. That's the ultimate disgrace. Email here from Mike Lone. Thought I'd reach out with a player injury story, this one involving Derby County's Mark Poom. There were doubts over the keeper's return to the 2000-2001 pre-season training after being injured in a game against heavy metal band Iron Maiden. The band's bass player and well-known West Ham fan Steve Harris often plays football on days off while on tour with a team of band members, roadies and tour management. In Bruce Dickinson's autobiography, the singer mentioned a charity game arranged before an Iron Maiden gig in Estonia against Flora FC Tallinn, at which Poom featured as a guest. Whilst playing as a striker, Poom collided awkwardly with the opposition goalkeeper when going for a header. A team doctor for the Estonian national team confirmed that Poom suffered a fractured cheekbone and undisclosed injuries to his testicles.
Oh!
Wow. All the best and love from Toronto.
It's Iron Maiden for you, man. I actually saw Steve Harris playing a charity game. Well, I think I was still at school. I think Kelly Jones from Stereophonics was involved, perhaps possibly Damon Albarn. It was back when like pre-soccer aid, when these weird little tournaments would happen, yes. and you would actually have quite big names.
Right, yeah.
I think Robbie Williams might have even been there.
Robbie Williams is always at them, though.
Yeah, exactly, right. And so Steve Harris was playing, and his team came second, and they were like giving out the medals, but he'd gone home in a sulk because they didn't win. Like, he really takes it seriously. So I'm not surprised he's injured Mark Poom in the balls.
We're undisclosed injury, though. You'd yeah. want more detail. I feel like if you're Mark Poon, you'd want people to have more details because people think, well, they're just destroyed.
Yeah. Destroyed. Oh.
They are very vulnerable, though, as I understand it.
Yes. Yeah. Destroyed balls is a terrible injury. Nobody wants that.
We should fundraise for that, actually.
We should. Robert Scott's been in touch. He says, evening, Ramblers, giving away when he sent this email. two thoughts have come into my head in recent weeks. One, I can't bear to watch Newcastle play anymore. And two, who would win in a regional five-a-side tournament across the UK? Andy often mentioned South London being a hotbed of talent, and recently you mentioned Birmingham being similar with the likes of Jude Bellingham and Jack Grealish. I want to put it to the Ramblers and those at home to see which region of the UK would have the best five-a-side team of all time. I'm choosing to allow any player through history to play, as I can't bear the idea of having Paul Dummett and Jack Cole back in a team together. Here's my five-a-side for Newcastle. Steve Bruce, rush keeper. central defence, Michael Carrick. Midfield, Peter Beardsley and Paul Gascoigne. Forward, Alan Shearer. Manager, Bobby Robson. Now, that is strong, isn't it? You've got to be honest. Apart from the goalkeeper, perhaps. I reckon we go quite far in the tournament, scoring a boatload of goals before bottling it two games from the end.
Nice. All right, so send yours in is what we want, basically. Who do you think? Where do you think?
The South Coast is pretty good, isn't it? It's a huge catchment area. Obviously, it's a direct...
You just want to sign Mallet, is it?
No, God, no. I think we'll leave him where he is.
We're getting team... We're just... Matt, we're playing teams from around the world. Around the what? Yeah, sorry.
Have you seen that there was a tweet going around yesterday that's from the Flat Earth Society, and it said, we've got members, we've got how many members? We've got thousands of members from all over the globe.
Yeah. that happens. They're odd people.
Show at footballramble.com, tweet us at footballramble. Let's get into some Arsenal, shall we? It's the title of this is Predictable Lunacy. Did you write that,
no,
Jim?
No, I would rather reflect on the 1-0 win over the weekend.
Oh, there you go. What a lovely, what a massive...
Part of your anti-Jim agenda yet again.
What a massive win. You know, obviously Turf Moor, a tough place to go. Or is it? They haven't won a home game, Burnley, since January, and they're winless in the first five games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it has that reputation, doesn't it? But I think...
Just because it's in the northwest.
Yeah, but also, I mean, they do make it hard for teams, even when you win.
Apparently they don't. Look at the stats.
Well, I know, but it was like, you know, that was a difficult game. Obviously, Arsenal eventually won it, but I think that their style of play leads to that cliche, doesn't it?
Just yeah, because
sure. You know, they make you work really hard. But yeah, they do need to turn it around.
Burnley, that is. You can say nice stuff about Arsenal if you want. Lovely goal from Martin Odegaard. And also,
I feel the keeper should have done a bit better, though.
Definitely true. But, and that free kick, so Ashley Westwood scythed down Bukayo Saka, didn't he? And that was
out of order,
I think, but also it's just a symptom of how scared he was of Saka. It was just a great move, and he was going to be in a great goal scoring opportunity. So, fine.
I did think Burnley had some weird moments in Arsenal's box where it didn't quite look like Arsenal knew what they were doing in clearing the ball. There was a little bit pinball-y, wasn't it, at times?
Yeah. But it's going to be like that, though, isn't it? They make it like that. They just close everything down. They smack it straight back at you. I was really impressed with Gabriel, actually. He had a really, really strong game. And obviously there was a bit of a kind of scary moment where Ben White underhit the ball back to Aaron Ramsdale, but he managed to just about get a touch on it.
Was that not a penalty?
No, he got the ball, didn't he?
I thought that was brilliant. A brilliant tackle.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And, like, you know,
given and then taken away by VAR or whatever.
Yeah,
discussed
that's what
with
it's
VAR.
For, isn't it?
I thought that was absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think
VAR?
Was...
Let's give it some credit. Let's move
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
Do you think that 11 they played was as close to their full strength team? And I say that knowing that obviously if you play Man City or Chelsea, you're going to approach things a bit differently. Maybe be a bit more cautious, but that looked, in terms of going forward, that front five, as it were.
Yeah, it's
like the look of that.
Very ambitious and attacking, wasn't it? Obviously, you know, it didn't like lead to like a glut of goals, but the idea is that these players would gel. I mean, the game ended with every one of Arsenal's signings on the pitch, which is a bit surprising because they signed six players in the summer, obviously all pretty young. Ramsdale is staking a claim for being number one straight away, which is
definitely
interesting.
I mean, what, he's played three games straight now, hasn't he? He was man of the match on Sky Sports for that game.
I mean, you know, it's not always ridiculous. I mean, I said this earlier in the season, people always think Arsenal are like on the verge of being some sort of clownish like joke about to collapse, and it's never as bad as it seems, and this is a good example of that. I know like playing Norwich and Burnley is different from playing the teams who played at the start of the season, and that's where you're going to be judged, but still, I think you know, the whole point of this window was lowering the age profile of the club, and just kind of just starting the process of building a team for the future. And I'm very, very happy to see these players getting minutes, because it's not the most scintillating thing just yet, but they're going to have to click and they're going to have to learn to play together. And it's like that, you know, there's a lot of young players there already. If you look at Saka and Smith Rowe, who are still really finding their feet. So, yeah. You know, you can't really look at them as seasoned old pros.
Great chance early on. And the other thing that Arsenal fans are going to have to learn is patience, according to Per Mertesacker, who's told the fans to expect the club to be without Champions League football for maybe 2 or 3 years. I'm impatient, he says. I want to be successful tomorrow. I want to go back in the Champions League tomorrow. I want to speak to people and say, listen, we have got the best club in the world who challenges for titles every single year. That's not the reality.
Yeah, no, it's not the reality. And I don't think many Arsenal fans think that it is. I think everyone's pretty
realistic.
You have
been rebuilding for a little bit, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But
it's not unfair to say.
Well, I mean, but the scaffolding is very much still up. So it's like no one's like looking at a building full of scaffolding and going, yeah, I reckon that's done. Like it's... Yeah, I mean, this is the reality of where Arsenal are. It would be great to not be there, but I think quite often people from outside the club think that Arsenal fans think that we're going to challenge for the league, which obviously we're not.
You mentioned this on the show a couple of weeks ago, I think, when Marcus was like, oh, you know, why does it have to be this bad? And you were like, well, I mean, it does in a way. Like, you actually, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with what Mertesacker said there.
No,
It's not going to be something that fixes itself over a year. Even if you somehow got Champions League football this year, that wouldn't be the solution to all the problems. No. That would, you know, this wouldn't be the start of a new dawn. Mm. That all those problems will persist, not just on the pitch, but, you know, above Arteta's head as well. But I think, I mean, you know, Kate, you mentioned there about they've been rebuilding for a while. I mean, it's never like that, though, is it? Like, as soon as you sack Emery, you start rebuilding again. Yeah. Even, like, moving to Arteta was a sense of, like, we got to start again. Mm. And I think maybe it was coloured a bit by the FA Cup win.
Yeah,
you know, as impressive as that was. But, you know, we've always said about, well, you know, in looser terms, we've always said about Arsenal over the last year or so that they seem to have all the right youngsters.
Yes.
You know, you would love that kind of potential coming through, and none of the right, you know, none of the right role models, really.
Yeah.
And it does seem that, certainly I think when I see Saka and Smith Rowe out there and the way other senior players respond to them, that the younger players are bringing out that little bit more of the senior players. It was quite pronounced with Lacazette last year, and hopefully, I imagine, for Arsenal fans, Aubameyang will be similar this year.
And also Thomas Partey being fit
back
again
is
so, so important. But what's more important is to just properly get him playing in the team, because he feels a bit like a guest star at the moment, rather than an actual like full-time member of the squad.
Yeah, gotta build
that's
it.
Such a good shout. Yeah, like in sitcoms where like someone comes in who's not a regular character and they get like the studio applause.
Yeah.
And then you don't see him for another three appearances.
Exactly, yeah.
Jermaine Genius's idea is that Arsenal would do well to follow Manchester United's example and recruit more club legends to their backroom staff. I don't know if that Arteta, Mertesacker, Edu might feel a bit offended.
Liam Berg was just working there before.
I don't know what to read into that. Maybe that's where all the sort of old clever heads are, and then the youngsters are just running through things on the pitch. I don't think Genius has made a good point there.
A question has caught him off guard there.
Yes, I think.
Let's be honest. Happens to all of us.
I'm not sure if we've given enough credit to Arsenal yet, but I'm afraid we're not going to. Today's not the show for that. We're just going to quickly mention.
Let's be honest, the Football Ramble isn't the show for that, is it? Bunch of.
Do you think they've earned it in your time?
I don't want to think about that.
All right. Let's look at their little Twitter escapade. Were you part of the Q&A, Jim?
I wasn't.
That they had with their manager? You weren't.
No.
Because there were some unusual people who were taking part in this. Some of them looked suspiciously like fake accounts set up by the club. Well, not fake accounts, but maybe people who were late to the Q&A game, let's say. One tweet was from an account that was set up only to tweet about this. I mean, it's understandable. You get excited about a Q&A.
Yeah.
You might set up a brand new Twitter account in order to contact your manager. I mean, I can see that. Similarly, the JP Morgan press officer who hasn't tweeted since 2017. And also the one who used the profile picture of someone who actually works at Arsenal.
It's all very strange. So I mean, I don't mind Arsenal or any club really going full like Pravda and trying to kind of just, you know, like make the, you know, I'm sure a lot of these Q&As have manufactured questions
course,
in them,
yeah.
but you've got to hide it.
Does anyone ever really
thing.
Tweet into radio stations these
well,
days?
I mean, I literally worked for a place where we would encourage readers to send in questions for big interviews, and I would write half the questions because, you know, someone doesn't want to know who he's got the best banter in the changing room.
Did you make up names though for those people's questions?
I did that as well. Yeah.
So, you know,
got a lot of ones from Berlin randomly. Big cricket following in Berlin.
Speaking of those fans taking back control, fans are set to be given a veto over their club taking part in new competitions after this fan-led review was set up to, I don't know, react. It wasn't actually set up to react to the European Super League nonsense. It was planned to happen before that, but I guess what went on there has acted as a trigger in terms of some of the things that are being discussed in it. The idea is that the Golden Share will protect heritage assets like badges, colours and location. I mean, it sounds, I don't know how far this has got at this point, but it sounds incredible because it could definitely, had that been the case, you're looking cynical about this, but had that been the case previously, you know, the AFC Wimbledon stuff wouldn't have taken part. All of the conflict with Hull City and Sam Allam trying to change the name to the Tigers wouldn't have been possible. The stuff with Cardiff City and the colours. It sounds as though if it's done right, that could actually be potentially quite a good thing.
It does, but isn't heritage assets a term that like sets alarm bells ringing in your head? It's very similar to like legacy fans, isn't it?
God.
And I wonder, like, those examples you've used are all great, but they are quite rare, aren't they? And I think, like, it just leaves me a bit uneasy. It's just like, we're going to give you these things that, in apart from the most exceptional cases, you will never need.
Yeah.
And then then you'll feel like you've got control, but actually you have no control.
Yeah, yeah, that's spot on. It's, you know, it's basically power that has no effect on what they're actually going to...
Well,
the reason that people buy clubs and people... The reason that we got into this European Super League mess, it wasn't because they were like... Don't like the colours. Mm. Do not like the colours. Should we start our own league?
Yeah,
you know that.
Hate that badge.
Yeah, there are some things in it in that, you know, that fan-led review which are really good. I really like the artificial pitches thing.
Yes,
because obviously it's a sustainable way for clubs lower down the pyramid to make money all year round. And also, you know, the fact that it mitigates against you know, calling off for weather is actually quite low down on the list of reasons for having an artificial pitch. Also, you know, Manchester United were playing in the Champions League on an artificial pitch last week.
Yes.
So they're definitely good enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of teams have had to spend a lot of money in converting that. And I think, in fact, talking to Maggie Murphy at Lewis, yeah, that was one of the real troubling things about when you make progress with your club, if you're then going to have to spend a whole load of money, have a load more ground stuff, and then also not be able to rent it out to other people who want to use it, right? Because
obviously
it's more durable if it's artificial. You can let, I don't know, the local... other team.
Managers often complain about like the effect on players' knees and things like that, don't they? But is that just outdated?
It is a bit. Yeah. Obviously it depends on the level of, you know, AstroTurf and artificial surface that they're able to afford. But for example, Saracens, who, you know, the rugby team, they play on an artificial pitch. So it's not just, you know, knee joints, it's literally being thrown to the ground and having like 700 kilos basically falling on top of you any one time. I haven't watched rugby in a while. Big people hitting you hard.
Do they do bundles in rugby? I don't know.
They do like an organised bundle, don't they? I think they call it scrum.
That's what scrum is.
But obviously, you know, the technology's come along. Also, I imagine it would be quite a cool thing to crowdfund in terms of, you know, getting support from the rest of the league to help these teams, you know, put them in and make sure they are state of the art, so that if there's an FA Cup situation, you haven't got someone complaining about this, that and the other.
Also, if it's artificial, it doesn't have to be green, does it? You could have like a golden pitch
or
a rainbow pitch. You could have whatever you want.
I suspect you wouldn't be allowed to have that. Do you remember when Leicester used to cut their grass so that it was in like cool shapes? Premier League bloody put a stop to that.
Did they really? Is that why that stopped?
I can't remember what the justification was, but yeah, it was like you have to have your pitch cut in the right, boring order.
It's really stupid, because that was football's equivalent of the Big Art Attack, wasn't it? That was like the closest you could get. I haven't realised that had gone. That's so annoying. It's so joyless.
That did go about 5 years ago though, Jim, so it slightly points out that
you know, I'm a quite dopey man.
we should go up there and, as you know, with your Art Attack idea, just like do like a shitload of pasta on the pit and just start like moving it around in little diagonals.
Yeah, yeah, or that, like that oil slick in Charlie Kane's office.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Why have you? I was thinking of Neil Buchanan, and then you put Charlie Kane in my head.
He's always in
he
there.
He looks a bit like the head in Art Attack, doesn't he?
Yeah. Sort of. I don't know. I'd quite like to see a bust of Charlie Kane. I don't know where that's come from.
I'm sure it could be arranged. Doesn't Pete have a person who does you?
No, yeah, he has a 3D printer.
He has a 3D printer, and he made my head, and I don't know why, and we've never really spoken about it.
The idea that
that's what Pete's like. If anyone else made a bust of your own head, you'd ask them why, but I'm just thinking, fine.
I like the way that's quite a... I see that as quite a personal thing. But he just put it in the Ramble WhatsApp with him. He was like, oh, I've just made this of Jim. And it's like, okay.
I don't know what he's going to use it for.
Sorry, guys. We don't want to go into this too much. We've got a few bits about the Carabao Cup we're going to talk about. But surely you would have had to have some sort of mold.
He scanned my head with an app in the studio. Did the same to Marcus.
Oh, so it's your own fault.
Because I was imagining that you'd had papier-mâché put around your face. And then you were like, oh, I just was totally not involved in this.
No, he just held his phone up to me. He said, look at that. Like, look left, look right. And then 2 days later, there's a bust of my head 3D printed on Twitter. So, yeah.
I also like the way that Kate assumed he had a sculpture guy. And I thought, oh, no, that is something he'd have, yeah. He definitely has a sculpture guy.
Yeah. Oh, well, we've all got one. We've all got a 3D head. Write in if you have. Jim Campbell, show at footballramble.com. Tonight's Carabao Cup. Man City playing the kids against Wickham Wanderers. Pep's not happy. He had a deeper squad, eh, Vish?
Yeah, but I mean, they're like the best kids in the world.
Yeah.
They're not really, it's like Bugsy Malone. Yeah, it's just tough. Kids. Good film.
It's tough for him. It's tough for him, old Pep Guardiola.
He's having quite a struggle, isn't he, this last week? He got into a fight that he shouldn't have got into with
the fans.
I'm with Pep on that. I thought it was very weird of the...
Putting out a statement about that.
Well, no, but he started it. This is what I mean.
Oh, right. Yeah. I thought the response was like a bit over the top.
Wait, how did he didn't start it? Wasn't well, he just he, like, he, can you come to a game?
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Not,
but
in that, any other club than Manchester City, that's not controversial.
No, it's not.
Please don't write it.
It's not controversial, but it's the way he said it.
The direct quotes. What did he say?
Well, he was just, we should, because it was right after the match, right after the Champions League game. It was like, I hope this is full for Southampton, the intimation being that like it doesn't matter who was able to give up their Wednesday evening or whatever to watch the game. It was the we need more people in here, blah blah blah. Little things like it was a bit tone deaf. Like the very least,
okay. All right. He could have. I assumed that.
I think that's consistent with him, with Pep. Though,
yeah, sure.
I think we know that, and they know that, and I don't know.
And he doesn't live in a world that's like everybody else's world.
No, not at all. Yeah, just that's
triangles and footballs. He sees things differently. He's like the Predator, but for tactics.
Yeah. I was just thinking he's got like a 3D printout of everyone's head in his squats. But like how he, it was quite an easy way of covering it off. A lot of people said that, why don't you have a word about the ticket price and this, that, the other. Basically, long story short, it feels like he's in a space now where Chelsea's doing what they're doing. Liverpool seem like they're back. He's had a couple of, irritating results or irritating moments where he's had to address the press.
Oh, so he's doing a Mourinho.
I don't think he's doing a Mourinho.
You will be pleased.
No, because for Pep, it always comes from a sincere place, which is always the worry. Like he finds it so hard to, I suppose, play poker, really, with these situations, that you can really tell when he's irate. And I wonder, like, because he actually wasn't like this time last season when they had that bad start. Mm. Certainly, I don't remember him like that. Obviously, there was question marks about whether De Bruyne was going to sign a new deal, whether he would sign on for another year. But he seemed relatively calm. And now he's just this, I think it's too early to be this tetchy, especially ahead of a Carabao Cup game.
Also, with missing out on Harry Kane and missing out on him at the time in which they did, so it was very difficult for them to get anyone else in, they've not got their own way for the first time in a while, in a very, very specific, big, visible way. So that it has left them, I suppose, as much as you can say Man City have been left short, that there is a key position in which they are lacking. And that's pretty rare for Pep, anywhere he's been.
All right. Leeds are playing Fulham tonight. Patrick Bamford might not have been available because he was called up to Love Island, he says. He received a call from someone, well, purporting to be a producer of the show, as Leeds were in pre-season.
I like the idea that his approach to being called up on Love Island, or his reaction, is the same that, you know, when footballers get called up for international duty for the first time, they're like, oh, I thought it was a wind-up.
I think in this specific instance, Fish, I think it may have been a wind-up.
Yeah.
He says, I never normally answer it, but I did answer it, and I can't remember what his name was. I think it was Chris or something like that. He's not great at telling anecdotes. But anyway, hi, it's Chris from ITV. Did you know that Casa Amor has just finished? We could do with a bombshell and you'd be perfect.
They've had a couple of footballers on, though. They've had a couple of, like, lower league footballers, but pros. So, you know, it's not impossible they might reach out, try and sneak him in. And, like, don't worry about your pre-season. You can do all that off camera. We'll get you a training team. Come on, Love Island.
Yeah, there was a cricketer on the last one as well.
Just, do you think they thought that Patrick Bamford is trying to, like, deposh his image? And so, little jaunt onto...
Deposh his image?
Yeah.
Are you going to go on Love Island?
Yeah, right, we have the same agent.
I quite like the idea of just chucking a footballer in. I should throw in one Premier League footballer and one person who's in there as, like, a punishment. And then Love Island would be way more interesting.
You know who would be brilliant on Love Island?
Mm.
Just for our amusement, Pep.
Oh, my God, imagine.
Oh. Days.
Just, I would love to, you know, obviously there's that video of him dancing to Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
Don't mind it. But
he's got some moves.
Yeah, no, he does have some moves, but I wonder if he has the social skills.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
he just talks about football.
Is there a way he could just sit on his own, sort of rocking backwards and forwards?
See, that's what I would do in Love Island.
Yeah.
It'd be awful.
Yeah.
It'd be good.
Yeah, I think I'd be the first Love Island contestant to wear his t-shirt in the pool.
Fish, you are actually looking pretty good today.
No, but they're like a different level.
They're like
and I should be clear, Fish is not actually topless in the studio.
No.
But he's in a paddling pool, weirdly.
I know, I don't know, who brought that in? Is that 3D printed as well?
Let's assume so.
All right, Norwich also hosting Liverpool, Sheffield United versus Southampton, Watford v Stoke City, the other three for you. Tomorrow's show, it is me, Fish and Luke. So that's it, really. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye. That was abrupt. I'm not quite ready to go.
You literally host the show and you were taken by surprise that it was the end of the show.
I'm just having such a great time.
I feel like I've just been kicked out of a pub for no reason.
It was, yeah. And the last order bell has gone at the same moment that I'm handing you a plastic cup and kicking you out the door, yeah.
That is literally how we always end it, Fish. I don't know why you're so surprised. Say goodbye, take your plastic cup and stop being loud at the neighbours.
Sorry, I'll keep it down.
All right, we'll catch you next time.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.